Today's episode of A New Beginning is brought to you by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Learn more at harvest.org. And while you're there, browse our library of free ebooks designed to help you grow in your faith.
You show me a marriage that's strong and vibrant and thriving, and I'll show you a marriage that people are giving attention to.
God's plan for marriage is about leaving and cleaving. But today, Pastor Greg Laurie explains how some don't cleave, they just let go.
The moment you let go is the moment it's going to start weakening. You have to constantly be giving attention. You have to be proactive, not merely reactive. Listen, you can't sleepwalk through a marriage.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Some young couples spend a small fortune on their wedding, planning it down to the most minute detail. And the event is over in a few hours. Then quite often, they don't invest the same amount of care and attention in the marriage that they promised would last a lifetime. But it's never too late to take corrective action. Whether you've been married 50 minutes or 50 years, Pastor Greg Laurie has some important insight to strengthen your relationship. Glad you're along today for A New Beginning.
This culture, this world, is not going to tell you how to have a successful marriage. I'm not going to look to culture for cues on how to have a successful marriage, but I am going to look to a reliable source, the Word of God, that tells us everything we need to know about how to have a strong and lasting marriage. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about marriage, everything we need to know about singleness, everything we need to know about life in general. Now, I want to give to you the secret of a successful marriage. So if you have a pen, I want you to write this down. If you want to have a successful marriage, do this. Two words. Marry yourself. Seriously, I did it and it worked really well for me. Let me explain. As you know, my last name is Laurie. Yes, it is a girl's name. And I didn't enjoy that growing up, by the way, especially when I was in military school and everyone is addressed by their last name. So I was just Laurie. So when I met Kathy, my wife, now she's going to have two girl names, Kathy Laurie, right? And people still to this day mistakenly call Kathy Laurie. They'll say, oh, hi, Greg. Hi, Laurie. And they mean Kathy, but, you know, they get confused. Okay, whatever. So going back to our wedding day. Pastor Chuck Smith, who of course is with the Lord now, married us, and he took us to the vows, and then when we finally came to the point where he pronounces us man and wife, and you kiss the bride, he says, I now pronounce that Greg and Lori are man and wife, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I married myself. That's a secret. It's worked very well. You might try it. And our marriage, like any other marriage, has faced challenges. It faces difficulties. And we've gone through storms like any other person that's gone through storms. The worst storm we've ever faced happened when the Lord called our son Christopher home to heaven. It's devastating. And I have to tell you that many marriages do not survive the death of a child. And our marriage did not weaken. It actually grew stronger. And I'll tell you why. It's because from the very beginning to the present day, our marriage was built on our relationship with Christ. And that is a foundation that will support you through the hardest of times. And that's what you want to keep your marriage relationship built on. So here's my question for you. Is your marriage on the rocks or is your marriage on the rock of Jesus Christ? Because if it's on Him, you'll be okay. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave these familiar words. Anyone who listens to my teachings and obeys me is wise. He's like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on rock. Jesus continues on and says, anyone who hears these teachings of mine and ignores them, they're foolish, and they're like a man who builds his house on sand. And when the rains come and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Notice Jesus did not say, if the rain comes, but when the rain comes. Storms will come. Hardships will come. Temptations will come. Challenges will come. Health issues will come. That's why in our vows we say, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, I commit my love. Maybe we should update those vows or some today until a more attractive guy or girl comes along, or until I get tired of you, or when the marriage gets a little hard. Hey, that would be honest at least. But if you've made that commitment to your wife or your husband, you need to stand by that commitment because the storms will come. And I want to tell you a little secret. One day when your life comes to an end, if you have the luxury of a deathbed, here's what's going to matter to you. When people are on their deathbed, three things are important, really two. Faith and family, and a distant third is friends. Faith, family, and friends. In other words, when a person is on their deathbed, they don't care anymore how much money is in their bank account. Because guess what? They're going to leave it all. They don't care how beautiful or how handsome they are, because that is going to become a non-issue quickly. Now, what they think about is faith. And by that, I mean they think about their lack of relationship with God. They'll say, oh man, I wish I went to church more. I wish I was closer to the Lord. I wish I read the Bible more. I've never met a single Christian on their deathbed who says, I wish I didn't go to church all those times. I wish I didn't memorize those scriptures. I wish I partied more. Are you kidding me? It's the opposite. And then it's family. Often regrets. Oh, I wish I was a better husband or wife. I wish I was a better parent. Yeah, those are the things that matter in life. So don't wait until your deathbed to deal with them. Deal with them right now. One day the prophet Isaiah came to King Hezekiah. He said, your days are numbered. You're going to die. So get your house in order. Here's my question for you. Is your house in order? Is your house right? Is your home right? Are you being the husband or the wife or the parent or the single that God wants you to be? We want to have a strong and flourishing marriage. Far too often people will have divorce as, you know, sort of a trapdoor. Well, if it doesn't work, we'll just get a divorce. I read an article the other day that said 2/3 of Christians who were interviewed considered divorce a reasonable solution to a problem marriage. What? A reasonable solution? Every marriage is going to have problems. Listen, wedlock should be a padlock. And if you don't believe it, stay single. But once you commit yourself, commit to that person for life. Now, let me digress for a moment and say there are grounds for divorce in the Bible given to us. And we'll explore those in the future message. But let me say, and I'm reiterating now, though there are grounds for a divorce, I have found in most cases when divorce happened, it could have been avoided. The marriage could have been saved. It was simply a cycle of selfishness the couple got themselves into. All right, let's look at our text now, Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I think when we think of this particular chapter, we immediately remember the verses where Paul says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, and wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord, and so forth. And we'll get to those verses, but we don't consider the verses that precede them. And in many ways, the verses that precede those passages I just quoted lay the foundation for a strong and happy home. So we're going to look at those preliminary statements in this particular message. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 13. All things are exposed. They're made manifest by the light. For whoever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So if you're taking notes, here's some takeaway truths, some points. Point number one, if you want a successful marriage, shine the light of God's word on it. If you want a successful marriage, shine the light of God's word on it. Verse 13, all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. You know, when you lose something, you turn on the light. I don't know why, but I'm always losing things in my car. You know, my wallet drops between the seats, or I misplaced a burrito from a year ago, and where is it? And so sometimes I have to get a flashlight out and search under all the seats until I find it. So light exposes things. I heard the story of a drunk man who was down on his hands and knees under a street light looking for something. Someone came up to him and said, "Sir, what did you lose?" And he said, "I lost my wallet." Told you he was a drunk man. That's a drunk man there. And they said, "Oh, did you lose your wallet here?" He said, "No, I lost it two blocks back, but there's no light there." Okay, that's kind of a problem. It's not a very good idea to search for something if you look in the wrong place. I have a little device now I keep in my wallet called a tile. Have you seen those things? It's a little little electronic chip, and then when you press the button on your phone, it'll let a little sound out, so it'll help you find your wallet. I think I need to put tiles on everything now because I'm misplacing things all the time, but you need to look for something in the right place. And the right place to go is to look at what the scripture says. You know, sometimes when marriages are having troubles, they get counseling, and I'm for that. As long as it's biblical counseling. Counseling is not enough. Listen to this. Just because a person says they're a Christian counselor doesn't necessarily mean they're giving biblical counsel. That's all that matters when it's said and done. Are you getting counsel from the Word of God? Because I've heard counsel that comes from people who are supposedly giving Christian counseling that frankly is contradictory to what the Bible says. So we need the counsel of God's Word. And that's why when I sit a couple down that are having troubles, I'll ask them a couple of questions. I'll often start with, first of all, are you Christians? They'll always say yes. And number two, I'll ask, you believe the Bible is the word of God? Again, they'll say yes. And then thirdly, I'll ask, are you willing to obey the word of God if you agree with it or not, or find it difficult or not? And that's where some people choke, because everybody thinks their marital problems are unique, but you know, they really aren't. And after a while, you see these are similar patterns that happen in people's lives because they disregard what the scripture says. Now you might say, well, wait a second, Greg, what if you don't agree with what the Bible says? Simple answer, change your opinion, because the Bible is right. And if you don't agree with it, you're wrong. Sorry to tell you that, but it's the truth. So we want to look to the Word of God because it gives us the answers that we need and tells us what to do. Principle number two, we need to wake up. Wake up, verse 14, awake you that sleep. Awaken from spiritual lethargy. Listen, you can't sleepwalk through a marriage. You show me a marriage that's strong and vibrant and thriving, and I'll show you a marriage that people are giving attention to. Sort of like starting a fire. Now, we don't know a lot about that here in Southern California. We have Duraflame logs and gas fireplaces, but in other places in our nation, you'll start a fire that will last, and you may start with some kindling or some newspapers and some smaller twigs and such, and then get some logs on it. And then once the fire's going, you put another log in the fire. And the same way, if a marriage is strong, especially over a period of time, it's because they keep putting logs on the fire. They cultivate their romance. They strengthen the marriage. The moment you let go is the moment it's going to start weakening. You have to constantly be giving attention. You have to be proactive, not merely reactive. And what will happen is a marriage is neglected. The husband neglects his role. The wife neglects hers. One problem turns into another, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Now we're in a state of crisis. I say, go back to the beginning and engage in preventative maintenance and strengthen it every day.
Pastor Greg Laurie features something special as today's program continues in a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. You know, my uncle, Fred Jordan, had one of the first Christian TV programs out there. It was called Church in the Home. I remember watching it as a little boy when I was living with my grandparents. Well, we have church in the home for you every weekend. It's called Harvest at Home, and you can find it at harvest.org. We have worship and a message from God's Word. So join us this weekend for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
There are so many questions surrounding relationships, marriage relationships, dating relationships. And Pastor Greg joined a panel of associate pastors from his home church to answer some of the often asked questions. Pastor Jason Powell begins.
A really great question someone just asked. They've been with their boyfriend for 4 years, and they're a Christian, but their boyfriend is not. Wow. They feel like they're being pulled down in their relationship with God. He's pulling me down. What do I do?
I have to tell you, this is kind of a no-brainer. The Bible's actually very clear in this one. It says, don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers, for what fellowship does light have with darkness, or righteousness with unrighteousness? Here's the reality. In more cases than the believer pulling the non-believer up, the non-believer pulls the believer down. And this is why God warns us about this. So this is a no-win situation where, missionary dating is not a great form of evangelism. If some guy wants to go out with you, seriously, girls, you say, I would love to see you. I go to church every Thursday night at Harvest OC. Why don't you come and I'll buy you a cup of coffee afterwards? That'll weed them out quickly, I'll tell you that. But hey, if he shows up, great. He's not a believer? Wonderful. Sit next to him or her in church. Let them hear the gospel. So that's a good opportunity. But the whole go out with them, and then you get into a relationship with them. And next thing you know, you're going down a road you don't want to be going down. So that's pretty clear, that one.
And what better place to meet your spouse and connect with your spouse than in the church? I met my wife at a Bible study. Actually, we went to school together before that, but reconnected with her at a home Bible study. You met mom while you were at church. How many of you met your spouse here at the church? That's awesome. That's right. It's what better place could you think of to find somebody? Not at the bar, not out at the club, not out at the beach sunbathing. It's like, who knows what this person's all about? You come to the church, they're going to have that worldview. You know you've at least got that foundation to work from.
That's right.
Last question here, and it has gotten texted in a bunch of times. It says, what about single moms? Should their priority be their kids or trying to find a father for their kids? I'm confused. What should I do?
Well, I would say, first of all, their priority should be their relationship with Jesus Christ. First of all, be close to him. Jesus makes a wonderful promise in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Contextually, Jesus was talking about non-believers. He was saying, don't be like the non-believers, so only worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear or what they're going to drink. Don't be that way. And that's what some people live for. But rather, seek first the kingdom. What does that mean? It means put God first in your life. And I believe as a single mother, you put God first and walk closely with Jesus Christ, because you're kind of having to be mom and dad there. It's a hard job. But pray that the Lord would bring that right guy along. And I think Jonathan can speak to this from experience.
Yeah, I married a single mom. My wife, Brittany, and I both actually kind of came from a background where we were both living in the world. As we were living a life that did not reflect wholesome living, we made mistakes. But you know what? I think that if you're a single mom here tonight, you need to know that you made the right decision. Because, as a church, we believe that we believe pro-life. We're very pro-life here. We believe that life begins at conception.
Yeah.
And if you brought that child to term, that's the other side of that coin. So we commend you for making that difficult decision.
That's right.
But as you have made that decision, now you have to raise this child. And I think that it's a good thing to want to find a father for that child.
Yeah,
and for my wife and myself, I can only speak from experience. But as we both began to seek after the Lord, as we both began to live a life that reflected wholesome living, as we both began to seek the Lord, that's just where we happened to connect, was at church, at a Bible study. And it began just really as a friendship, hanging out in a group of friends.
Yeah.
And then it developed more into a relationship. And then we ended up getting married. And so I believe that the Lord has the right person for you. But ultimately, the Lord didn't bring Brittany to me and didn't bring me to Brittany. when we were both living in a compromised way.
Yeah.
He brought us to each other when we were putting the Lord first. And I believe that's the key, like you said, is we put the Lord first, and then all those things will be added unto us.
Yeah, that's right. In the book of Genesis is a story of Isaac and Eleazar, the servant of Isaac's dad. Abraham went out to find a bride for him, and he found her. And he brought back the beautiful Rebekah. And it's interesting because the Bible says that when Rebekah was being brought to Isaac, he was out in the field meditating or praying. And I think it's that principle of Matthew 6:33. He's putting God first. You know, you can run after all these things and never get them or make the wrong decision. Put God first and wait on the Lord, and he will take care of you. He cares about you. I mean, if he cares about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, if he cares about every hair of your head, which in my case is not a lot, if he cares about, you know, every bird that lives and dies, as Jesus says, the Father knows all these things, certainly he cares about that person you would spend the rest of your life with. So put God first. If you're married, put God first. If you're single, put God first wherever you are. If you're just a kid, put the Lord first. If you're getting older, put the Lord first. All the way through life, that's the priority we should all live by. So why don't we pray together? Lord, we're so thankful for this time to hear what the Bible says. That's all that matters, not what the culture says. You tell us in your word, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Lord, as we've just thought about scripture and heard biblical principles, that renews our minds. And we want to live your way because you will bless that. So we commit ourselves to you, and we thank you for this time to gather together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, speaking today with his associate pastors Jason Powell and Jonathan Laurie, answering some practical questions about relationships. Good insight today here on A New Beginning. And then we want to make available an important new book for those challenging times of loss and crisis and tragedy. Pastor Greg, when tragedy strikes, of course, the first word that comes to mind is why, you know?
Yeah.
Is it appropriate to ask God why?
I think it's appropriate to ask God why. Even Jesus asked why when he hung on the cross and said to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I would add this, go ahead and ask why, just don't necessarily expect an answer. Hmm. And to the point, if God were to tell us why, I mean, let's just say the Lord sat us down and said, all right, I'm going to explain to you now why every bad thing that happened in your life happened. Are you ready? Would we be satisfied? I wonder if we would.
Hmm.
You know, we don't live on explanations, we live on promises. And I think we need to understand that there won't always be an answer to the why questions of life. So that brings us to the what and the who. So first of all, what should we do? What we should do is turn to God. And the who, of course, is the Lord. Turn to him in your times of suffering and pain. And speaking of that, we have an amazing book to offer you this month. It's written by my friend Tony Evans, along with his family members, Crystal, Priscilla, Anthony, and Jonathan, and it's called Divine Disruption. This is a book where they all contributed and talked a lot about the loss of their wonderful matriarch mother, Lois Evans, who went to be with the Lord. This is an honest book. This is a hopeful book. This is a biblical book, and this is a book that's going to help you as you're going through times of difficulty. And here's some of the questions that are answered in this book. Why bad things happen despite a good and powerful God? How to persevere in difficult times and experience the peace of God? And what can cause distress in your life and how to move past it? That's good information we all need to hear, Dave, because I know there's someone listening right now and has recently lost a loved one. There's someone else listening right now who's very ill. Maybe they're even at death's door. Mm-hmm. There's another person listening with another problem or challenge. You need to get a copy of this book that is called Divine Disruption. and will rush it to you for your gift of any size. And whatever you send, this gift will be used to continue to bring a message of hope to you and others who are listening in our radio broadcast that we call A New Beginning.
Yeah, that's right. We really want to place a copy of this in your hands. It's our thank you gift for those who can partner with us so these daily studies can continue. A New Beginning is a listener-supported outreach, and we're so thankful for our partners who believe in this ministry and want to see these studies continue. So go online today for your copy of Divine Disruption. Our web address is simply harvest.org. Or write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime around the clock. Again, at 1-800-821-3300. Well, next time, more insight from Pastor Greg's message called Home Sweet Home. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Harvest Ministries, follow this show and consider supporting it. Just go to harvest.org. And to find out how to know God personally, go to harvest.org and click on Know God.